TV.
Greetings, everyone, from Lima, Peru. It's Martin Zender. I don't have my green screen set up yesterday, or for all you know, this could be my green screen, but in fact, it's not. This is an actual Peruvian wall, and this is an actual piece of Peruvian art up here, and my microphone is here, but the table that it is sitting on is slanted at an angle. It has been destroyed. I have to buy a new table, so I'm not using the microphone. I have a lapel microphone here today. I'm making the best of things. I'm missing the stand for my center light, which is an important light. Some might call it the key light. But we're going to make the best of things here today, as I said. And so welcome to South of the Equator. For those of you who think I'm on vacation, I'm not. I'm not on vacation. It's not a vacation. I don't know how to take a vacation. Like I say, I work every day and I'm the same guy. I have the same, you know, problems that I have, the same mild depression. Peru is just another country, you know, in which to suffer. But having said that, there's a lot to be said for this country. It does seem like a more peaceful place. And as I've said, the people are very calm. They're more accommodating. They're more careful. They're more family oriented. They're more service oriented. And so I think I will feel a little better here. We're here for a month. And as long as I'm with my wife, everything's great. You always take yourself with you, you know. So I just wanted to disabuse anyone who thinks I'm taking a vacation. There's no place on this earth that would actually be a vacation for me. You know that already. So last night was interesting. Well, first I'm going to tell you about the flight. The flight was rough. I mean, what am I talking about rough? I was on an airplane going 500 miles an hour eating pasta. How can anyone call that rough? So forget what I just said. It was an overnight flight, which makes it a little more difficult. So the following day, we were both very sleepy, and there was no way I was going to run. I knew that my best chance of running the start would be the day after. So let's see, what day did we fly here? Christmas Day. So Friday, the 26th, was just kind of like getting things together here at our place here in Lima. And so I knew my best chance of running would not happen until Saturday morning. And so I got up feeling like crap again, just crap. And I was feeling out of sorts. It's always hard adjusting, you know, when we come here. And then it's hard adjusting when I go back to Florida. I'm a creature of habit. I love my ruts, and so it's very hard adjusting. Once I adjust, then I adjust. And then it's hard to adjust back. But anyway, I said, I've got to run. That's the only way I can get my mojo back. And I'm telling you, so I went out at 7:30 on Saturday morning, and it was the most perfect run. Since I had 2 days off, I decided I was going to run 10 miles. And I did. I have a 8-mile route down here, a 10-mile route, and a 13.1 or half marathon mile route. I'll get to the 13.1 in a couple weeks, but I was happy to do the 10, and it was magical. The run was perfect because my form is perfect. Remember, I'm not running with my legs. I am not propelling myself through space. I am falling down. The proper way to run is to utilize gravity. If this helps anybody, great. It's a controlled fall. Running is a controlled fall. And it's that beautiful tension between falling and stopping yourself from falling. And that stoppage happens from the hips. You rotate the hips like this. The legs are dead weight. The arms are dead weight. I'm not saying the arms are hanging down there, but they're just held loosely and they're not contributing to propulsion at all. You've seen people running like this. These people are an embarrassment to the human race. even elite runners who are doing sub 4 minute miles, they're not running with their arms. It looks like they are, but they're just going so fast that their motion makes it look like their arms are pumping. The only people pumping their arms are sprinters. Okay, not middle distance runners, certainly not long distance runners. So the whole body is dead weight and you're just falling down, and the only thing keeping your ass from dragging on the ground is your legs. The legs are absolutely useless. I'm not using my legs to propel myself. I'm falling down, bending at the ankles. Very important. Don't bend at the hips. No, bend at the ankles, keeping the back straight, and then it's a controlled fall. So I'm falling. This is why I, a 65-year-old man, could run 65 miles in one day last March 6th, because I'm falling down. How much energy does it take to fall down? I'm not running. I'm falling down. I mean, if you look at me, that guy's running. It looks like I'm running, but I'm not using my legs. Oh, that was happening so perfectly on Saturday. Because of the two-day rest, it felt effortless, and I was back to my normal self. It was beautiful. But there's something I saw. This is the spiritual message. When's the spiritual message coming, Martin? It's coming right now. I saw something on Saturday that blew my mind. And I have a video of it I took today. I ran another, well, I didn't run 10 miles. I ran 8 miles today. But I saw something that corresponded with the book of Revelation that confirmed for me something bizarre from chapter 9 in the book of Revelation that you've read before. And you said, my God, how are people going to be this stupid? And I will explain it to you. Okay, but last night, I'm sitting right here, and what am I doing? Oh, yeah, I'm editing yesterday's video, the Rodney Parris video. If you haven't watched it, my sister Kelly will have it linked down here. It's a talk I gave in 2009 when I was at my lowest. My wife of 26 years had just abandoned me, and I was a wreck emotionally, spiritually, physically. And yet I was invited to speak at this church that was, well, we kind of hijacked it. It was an old, old church. The host of those days was Joe Gardner. And I went and I taught my heart out. And work has saved me so many times from emotional traumas and every kind of trauma. I throw myself into the work. I realize it's the most important thing. And our faith, our belief that God gave us is the most important thing. And when you set your affections on things above, not those on the earth, then the things of the earth do grow strangely dim. It's true. So I was working on that video last night and I felt the floor moving, shuddering like this. And I looked at the pictures. There's 5 little pictures on the wall over here, and they're going back and forth. And we had a couple guests over. My wife was in the living room with our guests. I spent some time with them, then excused myself. I said I had to work. And this rumbling went on. It was an earthquake. And the rumbling went on for about 20 seconds. And I waited till it stopped, and I ran out there. I said, did you guys feel that? And Maria was already on the phone saying that the epicenter was 3 hours to the north of here. And she originally said it was a 6.4 on the Richter scale. Now, they get what they call temblors all the time in Lima, Peru, because this is the Ring of Fire. I'm on the Ring of Fire right now, the Pacific Rim. They call it the Ring of Fire, where Tokyo is across the Pacific. And this whole area on the coastlines of the Pacific Ocean, it's called the Ring of Fire. Very prone to earthquakes, no kidding. I felt one like I've never felt before yesterday. And the guest said, were you scared, Martin? I said, no, I love it. I love it. I didn't tell him why, because I know that it's one of the harbingers of the end of the eon. So, you know, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not looking forward to the death process. In fact, I'm going through the death process now, as we all are. Not a big fan, okay? But dying's like, yeah, okay, well, if the building falls down and I die, hey, better things ahead, right? So that was exciting. There's a little newscast on it too. It made the news. And like I say, we were 3 hours by airplane. Is that 3 hours by donkey, by airplane, or by car? Big difference. I don't know. I can't tell you the name of the city. All right, let's get down to the scripture. But I just wanted to talk to you, tell you what I've been doing, tell you how I'm getting along down here. My wife is terrific. I love her. We get along so well. And everywhere, as long as I'm with her, you know, we just always manage to make the best out of everything. She's a happy person. And she smiles and laughs. And she loves me and takes care of me. You know how she took care of me during this thing. The last time I was here, I was getting this surgery done. So I have not great memories, but in another way, I do have great memories because of the love and the care of her and her cousin Isabel and her son Sebastian, who is here with us now. He's going to be living here for a month, which I'm very happy about. I love family. I love my extended family. So I was on that perfect run on Saturday, and on my route, just goes along the Pacific Ocean. There is a shrine. There is a statue to Mary. A big statue of Mary is probably the size of Goliath, you know, 9'9". And there's an iron gate around it. And people put flowers there. It's a Catholic country, right? So people put flowers there. They hang rosaries on the iron gate. And I always see people standing in front of it in the prayer pose. Some people are actually kneeling in front of this thing, kneeling this thing. I call it this thing. It's a graven image. It's an idol. They think Mary is alive. The Catholics do, of course. And they think that if they pray to her, good things will happen to them. And they're so superstitious. All Catholics are superstitious. They have the medals on their car. St. Christopher is supposed to keep them from getting into a car accident. I remember a guy on a flight one time, he had this St. Christopher medal. And he was, or no, maybe it was a rosary. He was just kneading the rosary all through the flight. He was sitting across the aisle from me. He was just rubbing this rosary to death and fondling the cross. And he was very upset the whole flight. And then as soon as the plane landed, took it, wadded the rosary up in a ball, threw it in his bag. And that was the end of that. He was on the ground, so he was good now. I didn't want to tell the guy that driving is many, many, many times more dangerous than flying. But how do you explain superstitions? How do you explain enchantments? And that's exactly what these Catholics are doing. They're engaged in enchantments, in magical thinking, superstition. So I always see these poor people standing there. They want to be seen doing their duty to Mary. They love the idea that people are watching them, that they take this religion seriously enough that they're not going to run past Mary. They're going to stop and give Mary her due, and they're going to at least make a sign of the cross. I've seen people running. They're running. They'll stop for a second. They'll make the sign of the cross to Mary, and then off they go. Others are more serious, more somber, more concerned about the afterlife than you ever will be. And these are the ones that kneel and have their hands either with interlaced fingers or like this. But what did I see on Saturday? I was looking forward to seeing who was hanging out at the Mary statue, and it was under construction. The statue was gone. The area was surrounded by a green, like netting, kind of like a mesh, no, green mesh. But it was kind of open in the front in the shape of a V, and there were workers in there, and there was cement and everything. But Mary was nowhere to be seen. Maybe she had ascended into heaven. No, she already did that, right? So that can't be it. I don't know. Maybe she was running down the road with perfect form. Not as perfect as mine, but perhaps she was attempting it. Probably using her arms too much. But Mary was nowhere to be seen. It was obvious to me that the workmen had destroyed the area, and they were rebuilding it. Probably going to make her a nicer pedestal, maybe plant some nice flowers around there. They're obvious. I don't think they're getting rid of the shrine. I think they're just improving it, okay? But as I was running past, I noticed a guy walking up to it, and he stops in front of the construction site, in front of workers, and he makes the sign of the cross like this. First, he licks his thumb, or he licks his finger, he licks something, and he does this, makes the sign of the cross, Father, Son, Holy Man, totally superstitious, right? To ward off evil spirits or whatever. But what shocked me was, she's not there. It's a devastated sight. And yet, he was acting like it was still active, that Mary's power was still there or something, even though she wasn't there. It seems to me that if you're going to be an idol worshiper, the idol must be present. Am I wrong to think this? Where's the idol? The idol was nowhere. I immediately thought of Revelation 9:13. Oh, and by the way, so today I took a short 13-second video of the site. I want to show it to you now. So here's the site. This is exactly where this guy was standing the day before. And he made the sign of the cross to these workmen, to this nothing, to this green screen. He made the sign of the cross. Martin, how in the world did that remind you of Revelation? Like this, Revelation 9:13, and the six messenger trumpets, and I hear one voice out of the horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth messenger who has the trumpet, loose the four messengers who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Oh, you know what this is. And loose were the four messengers made ready for the hour and day and month and year that they should be killing a third of mankind. This is the cleansing of the earth by God's messengers of all its religion and politics. As I've told you many times, this earth's religion and politics must be replaced by God's religion and politics, and it's not going to be a pretty process. It's not going to be a slow reformation. It's going to happen in a day. And loosed were the four messengers. They should be killing a third of mankind. Verse 16, and the number of the troops of cavalry was 200 millions. I hear their number. And thus I perceived the horses in the vision and those sitting on them, having cuirasses fiery and amethystine and sulphurous, and the heads of the horses are as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths is issuing fire, fumes, and sulphur. By these three calamities, that is, fire, fumes, and sulphur, were killed a third of mankind by the fire, the fumes, and the sulphur, which is issuing out of their mouths. And this is all literal. And for those who mock me for that belief, well, I'll go down believing in the word of God, literal if possible. Is this possible? Yes. Have we ever seen anything like it before? No. Had anyone before Egypt seen anything like rivers turning to blood? Or Moses producing a snake from a staff? Moses and Aaron. These calamities were hinted at in Egypt. But Jesus said that the earth will undergo a trial such as it has never undergone before, which means there's no exact precedent for this. The license of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they are injuring. And the rest of mankind who were not killed in these calamities, here's the shock. Here it is. This is what I'm driving at. And the rest of mankind who were not killed in these calamities repent not. They do not repent of the acts of their hands, that they will not be worshiping the demons, that they don't repent. So that they will not be worshiping the demons. In other words, they will continue worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and copper and stone and wood, which are neither able to be observing, nor to be hearing, nor to be walking. And they repent not of their murders, nor of their enchantments, nor of their prostitution, nor of their thefts. And I've always thought, after reading this passage, how can people be so stupid as to keep doing the same thing they've been doing, even after these calamities. These calamities, which are obviously strikes directly from the hand of God. This is why. These people don't see these calamities as being from God. They don't know that. The earth doesn't know what's happening. We know because we're reading it in the scripture that this is a God strike. For all they know, it's a satanic strike. Or it's World War III or some kind of stealth weapon of Russia or something. I don't really think they're going to think that because these are actual supernatural beings, these 200 million supernatural cavalry. They're actually supernatural beings. So I think that most of humanity might think it is a demonic activity. And God may, these four messengers unleashed may be demonic messengers, but they're under the control of God, and their job is to kill humanity at the behest of God because the earth must be rid of its man-made religions. And there's four main religions: Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity must be wiped out. Now, keep in mind, I believe in the salvation of all, but that happens down the road. In the meantime, it's so good to be a believer these days, because these days will be difficult. But so I always thought these people must be incredibly stupid. But what they're doing is, it's like, won't they do anything to get rid of it? But they still think that their religion, this is it, they're still practicing their religions. They still think their religion is the answer. They don't realize that this strike of God is against religion. This is why they don't repent of their religion, because they will go down to the bitter end thinking that their religion is the only thing that will save them from the calamity. And this guy was evidence of that. His precious Mary was gone, put in a locker somewhere or in a storehouse, and the site was a rubble of stone. And yet this guy's making the sign of the cross to the rubble. In other words, he's still believing in something that is destroyed. And this is exactly what these people will be doing. They will not repent of the acts of their hands. And this guy was doing this. It's an act of the hand. He thinks that this is going to help him through life, through sickness, through disease, through illness. If he does this, he's okay. If he doesn't do that, he's not okay. If he runs past Mary without doing this, he's in danger. That's what these people think. It's totally superstition. And in this, they're worshiping demons. We know that every religion is run by a demon. I have said that Baal Peor is the demon that is in charge of the Christian religion. The heaviest hitting, most evil, demonic force runs the religion that has the prettiest face, that has the sweetest scent, that has the most sincere worshipers who are so superstitious. And what does it say after this? So they are literally worshiping demons disguised as Jesus Christ. Because we know from 2 Corinthians that Satan is disguised as a messenger or an angel of light. Satan's disguised as an angel of light. He doesn't look all evil and mean. He looks kindly and beautiful, like, say, I don't know, a statue of Mary. And the so-called sightings of Mary at Fatima and other places, these were demonic manifestations. And so these people are literally worshiping demons. So they're not repenting of their worship of demons. But the reason they're not repenting of it is because they've been worshiping these demons their entire life in the guise of the beauty and the outward architecture and the sense and the visions of the Catholic Church. It's been demonic the whole time. So they're still worshiping demons. They still don't know they're demons. And they still think that that is their rescue. And idols of gold, silver, copper, stone, and wood. The whole Catholic Church. And this speaks, I think, chiefly of Catholicism, but not exclusively of Catholicism. But they are still worshiping idols of gold and silver. Christians, not Catholics, they have idols of gold and silver around their necks. They do. Almost every commentator on Fox News, especially the females, they're all Catholics. They have gold crosses. And everybody's all into it now. Since the Charlie Kirk murder, Christianity has really gotten a boost. The demons are working overtime, and everyone thinks that going to church is the answer. And they're so happy people are going to church. Oh, people are going to church. More and more people are going to church, and I think that's wonderful. But they're not repenting of worshiping demons. They're not repenting of having their idols of gold and silver and copper and stone. They're not worshiping the true Jesus Christ. They're wearing an icon of the fake Jesus. And they have confidence in their own rituals. They're involved in the rituals of the messengers, the evil rituals of evil angels, disguised as the Catholic Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Protestant Church. Baptists, any church is a demonic entity, because they're not worshiping the true Christ. They believe in eternal torment. They believe in human free will, that you save yourself by believing in yourself, believing in your power, in your ability, your willpower. And they deny the death of Christ, because the first lie of Satan was, you shall not die. And so none of them believe in death. They're all following the behest of demons. And so why would they repent of that? Because they still think that's the answer, because they don't know that that's what's being destroyed. So even if their church is destroyed, they don't know that it's God finally ridding the world of human religion. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait. I can't wait. And when you see the end of these religions, you can get a better assessment today of what God thinks of them prior to their destruction. So they don't know that. There's no way they would think that this is God doing this. And so they double down on it. They double down. And they will go to the rubble that was their church. And they'll gather in the rubble. They will gather in the rubble. This is what it's meant. They won't repent of worshiping the demons. They still think this is the answer. Even though other churches are destroyed, the great cathedrals are destroyed, nevertheless, Mary's taken down. Nevertheless, they're going to go to that site, and they're going to double down on their demonic worship, because they don't know that's what it is, and their idols of gold and silver. Verse 21, and they repent not of their murders. The Catholic Church has been guilty of murdering so many people with all their holy wars, and nobody in the Catholic Church repents of that, nor their enchantments. This is a big word. Nor of their prostitution, nor of their thefts. We know that the Catholic Church is the mother of all harlots, the mother prostitute. And all other offshoots of Catholicism, which is pretty much everything, is an offshoot of the mother whore. And they all barter God for human contribution. They hold God over your head as something that can be yours if the price is right. Like Bob Barker. And you have to do everything right. You have to go to the church. You have to be baptized. You have to say their prayers in order to be saved. They have a whole system for you to go through, none of which is scriptural. And thefts, oh my God, thefts. They rob your money, and what do they give you in return? Fear, worry, dread. That's what they give you in return. But look at this word, enchantments. The Concordant version, the Greek word is pharmakia, which is the word from which we derive our word pharmaceuticals. And the English element is drugging. So it's like these people are on drugs. The correct translation in the Concordant version is enchantment. And what is enchantment? Let's look it up. Enchantment means a state of delight or wonder, often feeling magical. But it also refers to a magical spell or charm cast on someone or something, creating a delightful or bewitched state, common in fantasy, a bewitched state, feeling magical, a state of delight or wonder. When these people are in front of Mary, they feel like they're worshiping their savioress. They think they're deluded to think she's alive. She's not. Mary is dead. Earth to all Catholics, the true Jesus to all Catholics. Mary is dead. She's not alive. The dead do not know anything. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. Yeah, sorry to break it. I mean, maybe I should be more gentle and more considerate. I apologize to anybody who's shocked by this information. But she's just as dead as the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Adolf Hitler, and Mother Teresa. They're all dead. The resurrection is future. Okay, there's that. So enchantments, wow, what a word. Magical, holy water, singing. Every modern day church singing repetitive so-called worship songs. It's an enchantment. They think that by crying, by swaying, by holding up their hands, by repeating these hypnotic songs, that they are getting closer to God. No, it's an emotional experience. It's an enchantment. And I swear to God that they will be on the site of the destroyed church, destroyed by God, using these four messengers bound now at the river Euphrates. They will go right back there, not realizing that that's the very thing that got them standing there in a pile of rubble in the first place. The answer, the solution is to get the hell out. Come out of her, my people. Anyone within the sound of my voice who has a heart for God, come out of the organized religion. It is demonic from start to finish. The teachings are teachings of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1. And the truth is found in correctly translated scriptures, which you can find on very few websites out there, but this is one website where you are now that takes the word of God seriously, that respects proper translation, and finds a God and a Christ that is far bigger than any God or Christ that we were taught in organized religion.